Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the Movies, for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's post-pandemic Oscar time, where they roll out the red carpets, choose some issues to temporarily care about, and pay homage to some of the best and not-so-good movies from the past year. And always a surprise. Will this year be a punch or a slap? Maybe a photobomb? Or perhaps a misread Best Picture winner award? Stay tuned tomorrow to find out. And to help us understand the movies in competition at this year's Academy Awards, what to see, what to avoid, what's great, what's terrible, who should win, and who we think will win, I'm going to speak with cinephile Jeff Harris. Jeff is a Toronto-based photographer, former photo editor at Maclean's, and who is continuing a 25-year art project of self-portraits taken each day. You may recognize his work from the pics that go along with the interviews I do each year at Hot Docs and TIFF, which he has been covering since 2002. And now, he's the one producing this very segment and all my segments on this show. So I'm very pleased to have Jeff Harris here with me so we can go over the Oscars. Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, Daniel.
Let's first start by going over the 10 nominees for Best Picture. All Quiet on the Western Front is a scathing and devastating anti-war movie from Germany about trench warfare in World War I based on the novel by Eric Maria Remarque. This is its fourth incarnation as a movie.
Elvis is a biopic directed by Baz Luhrmann, starring Austin Butler in the title role and Tom Hanks as his controlling manager, Tom Parker.
The Fablemans is a fictionalized retelling of Steven Spielberg's own childhood, how he got his start in movies, and his own eccentric parents. This is Spielberg's first and only autobiographical film.
The Banshees of Inisherin is a surreal black comedy set on a remote island in Ireland, watching two lifelong friends abruptly end their friendship, as starring Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson.
A sequel to the first Avatar movie, Avatar: The Way of Water, is a three-hour 3D animated film about the indigenous people and animals of the planet Pandora fighting off environmentally toxic colonials from Earth.
Tar is a slow psychological drama which follows the rise and fall of renowned orchestra conductor Lydia Tar. Cate Blanchett plays the lead in this much-buzzed performance.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once is a sci-fi comedy about a middle-aged Chinese-American woman, played by Michelle Yeoh, who discovers she exists in countless parallel universes, and she's the only one who can save our world from destruction.
Top Gun Maverick. This is a sequel to the 1986 film Top Gun. Tom Cruise is back as a naval aviator, teaching the next generation of recruits how to fly on a complex mission to take out a nuclear enrichment facility.
Women Talking, based on the novel by Miriam Taves and directed by Sarah Pauley, both Canadian, is an ensemble piece about a Mennonite colony where the women have to decide whether to stay to fight back or to leave the colony en masse following a series of sexual assaults on them by the men who live there.
And finally, Triangle of Sadness is a dark comedy with two young fashionable couples on a luxury cruise line helmed by the inebriated Woody Harrelson that goes incredibly awry.
Okay, Jeff, so looking at all these entries, is there anything you think is missing from that list?
I would have liked to have seen The Whale up in Best Picture.
I agree.
And one film that got no Oscar love that I really liked this year was The Menu. So those are the two oversights I see.
Okay. I think that Everything Everywhere All at Once is going to win, just judging by the number of awards it's already won. But who do I think should win? It's a toss-up between Tar and Triangle of Sadness, yes. both of them are very good, but I think Triangle of Sadness is the best of the 10. And I have to say, I liked all the movies. I didn't see the Top Gun movie. So of the 9 movies I saw, I liked all of them except Elvis, which I didn't like.
I agree with you about Triangle of Sadness. It already won the Palme d'Or in Cannes. But I think it's a little bit too artsy for a mainstream awards ceremony like this.
So who do you think will win?
I think the buzz has very much been behind Everything Everywhere All at Once.
So. Yeah. Now let's talk about the best supporting actor. That list includes Brendan Gleeson and Barry Keoghan for Banshees, Ki Hoi Kwan from Everything, Judd Hirsch from The Fablemans, and there's a wild card there, Brian Tyree Henry from Causeway, which is the only one I haven't seen from that list. For me, I think Ki Hoi Kwan is the favorite going into it. He's won a lot of prizes so far. But for who should win, I'm inclined to say either Barry Keoghan, who always plays these interesting oddball characters, or Judd Hirsch, just because it's such an off-the-wall, unexpected performance as the lion tamer in The Fablemans. What about you? Who do you think will win and who do you think should win?
Well, I believe if Judd Hirsch wins, he would be the oldest recipient of an Oscar ever. I'm supportive of Ki Hoi Kwan. He was, we might remember him from 30 years ago where he starred in the Indiana Jones film as his little sidekick, Short Round. And he was also in the Goonies. And then he's really, his whole career went into hibernation for the last 30 years. So it would be pretty fun to see him up there winning a Best Supporting Actor.
It is true. When I saw that movie, I had no idea that was the little kid from Temple of Doom. Yeah. So it was nice to see him again. So Best Supporting Actress. There's Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu, both from Everything. The great Angela Bassett from Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Carrie Condor from The Banshees and Hong Chau from The Whale. Who would you like to see win and who do you think will win?
I absolutely was floored by Hong Chau's performances this year. She's up for a nomination for The Whale, but she's starred in a completely different role in the movie called The Menu. And just to see her range between those two roles, it's jaw-dropping. So that's who I would like to win. I think Everything Everywhere has this huge momentum, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jamie Lee Curtis wins for that.
I don't know either, but I have a feeling she might get it. I thought Hong Chau was great. They don't usually give awards to characters who in the role look frumpy. They want someone who's outrageous or comical. Oh, yeah. They don't want sort of a normal-looking character for Best Supporting. They want sort of like a standout, over-the-top type
character.
Someone
wearing a wig.
Yeah, yeah. I think in movies, everyone wears wigs. So,
but well, like Jamie Lee Curtis has a good wig.
Yes, she does. I didn't recognize her for halfway through that movie. never mind the former shortstop. Okay, Best Actor. Who do you think is going to win? In my mind, Brendan Fraser should win and will win. Such a fantastic performance in The Whale.
Yeah, The Whale, Brendan Fraser, that's another comeback story, but it's phenomenal the kind of sensitivity he adds to that role.
So who do you think is going to win Best Actress? There's a number of outstanding performances there. Who do you think is going to win and who do you think should win?
I think Cate Blanchett will win, and I believe she should win for her role as the disgraced orchestra conductor in Tar.
Okay, I thought that was, in my mind, that's the best performance, but everyone's saying Michelle Yeoh is going to win. She's won almost every writer, director, actor here, both here and abroad. She's basically swept up in that one. So to me, I think she's the one who's going to get. I also think Michelle Williams, a lot of people didn't like her performance in The Fablemans, but I thought she was fantastic as the pseudo Steven Spielberg mom character. I just thought it was a very interesting character, unexpected. So international film, best international film. I think All Quiet on the Western Front is going to win mainly because it's the only one in best international film that's also nominated for best film period. It's not going to win Best Picture, but I think they're sort of obligated to give it Best International Film.
And it just won Best Picture at the BAFTAs in the UK just a month ago.
So, oh, interesting.
So, it's got a bit of last-minute appeal.
So what's your thoughts on Best Documentary? Who do you think's going to win?
I would love it if Daniel Roher's documentary on Navalny won. It came out a year ago before the Russian war, but it was the most timely and ominous film. Like, just the timing's incredible. Daniel is a Toronto filmmaker who's very young. He's about 28, and it's a bit of a masterpiece what he did there.
There is a certain degree of suspense that you rarely see. Like, while the camera's rolling in a documentary in real time, you see no spoiler, but you see a major revelation happen. So in that sense, it was quite good. However, I think the best one was All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, directed by Laura Poitras. That's a really fantastic documentary about the fight against Big Pharma for making the opioids, which killed so many people, including the artist whom the film is about, Nan Golden. Next, or finally, let's just talk briefly about the best animated film, which has a really good selection. And I got to say, normally they're just kids' movies, but this year I've seen 4 out of 5 of the pictures, and I liked 3 of them. So in my mind, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which is stop-motion photography, is just such a masterpiece. It went pretty much from screen straight to Netflix, but I think that is such a amazing movie. Well, what are your feelings?
Well, there's a couple others worthy of consideration. Turning Red is a Toronto story, and it's the first Pixar film to take place in Toronto. So caught my attention. But the film that I thought was absolutely adorable was Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. I don't think it'll win. I think Guillermo del Toro would win and probably should win, but Marcel the Shell is seeing a whole movie based around a little talking shell was pretty cute and adorable.
With Shoes On. I agree. That was a fantastic movie. I just somehow think the labor, the huge amount of work that went into Pinocchio sort of sets it up into Oscar. They really go with simple stuff. They like big, ambitious things. So those are the Oscars, which are on tomorrow night. Any final comments on this?
Well, I feel like there's going to be more eyeballs tuning in this year just based on the controversies from last year. I don't think the Oscars have ever been talked about more in a whole year. You know, we're all sort of on edge to see how the host, Jimmy Kimmel, responds. I'm sure there'll be some funny little...
I don't know if you can say ever. I mean, you have Marlon Brando turning down the award and an Indigenous woman accepting it for him, who I think she died this year.
Yes, she did die.
Things like that. So there have been major moments in the past, but there is a certain frisson of excitement having a show that's being shot live. So, as I said, I've been talking with Jeff Harris. Thanks so much for talking with me, Jeff.
Thank you, Daniel.
And you can see it tomorrow on TV. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.